All right. This leads to, I think, a really good question, this next one. And that is this. Now, these are heavy passages here. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and look them up. One is Psalm 119:75 and Hebrews 12:6-11. Many times the wind and waves in our storm are caused by our own poor choices. So sometimes the Lord may bring the storms of life upon us. Sometimes the storms in our life are because of our own poor choices. The Lord, just as he rebuked the winds and the waves in Galilee, rebukes us for disobeying his word. According to the verse just read from those two passages, why does God discipline us? And how can God's rebuking bring calm to our storm? Especially if anyone has that Hebrews passage, I'd love to discuss that one. Does anyone have the Hebrews 12:6-11?
For the Lord disciplines him whom he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. And then 11, for the moment all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it.
Okay, wow. All right, yeah, this is going to get, I think we're going to have a lot of discussion on this one. We're going to go 5 extra minutes a little bit later. I think we're set for service. I really want to unpack this thought here. Why would discipline be a good thing? I have a theory that people think discipline's a bad thing.
I was going to say, in my business, discipline, the word, the definition of discipline is to teach. It's not to punish. So if you really look at the definition, I think that's what it's more about.
As I look into people's lives, and I'm speaking to the choir here, that's, you know, you guys are like the, you know, those gems that are just, there's not much to say about you guys. But as I look and engage with other people, you know, it's oftentimes that in their lives, a lot of the storms that are there are self-inflicted. So some of it could be, I guess, circumstances in life, but a lot of it is poor choices. How do we help people who have made maybe poor choices turn that around? Or should we not say anything? Thoughts on that one? Or should we just love them? What do you think?
Not be judgmental.
What's that?
I say we should not be judgmental.
Okay, isn't there a great fear of, yeah, that's the first step. Most people say, how dare you judge me for what you're saying? Good. What if we don't say anything? What's the danger?
I think you could possibly help by saying something. I mean, depending on what you say, if you don't say anything, you're actually not helping. Sometimes if you say something, you don't help either, but you might think you are.
Cause them to think anyway.
Yeah. Well, a Bible passage comes to mind, Galatians 6, verse 1, which talks about how Paul's saying, brothers, if anyone falls, make sure that you restore them in a spirit of gentleness. To do that with a spirit of gentleness is not avoiding a tough conversation. It's having a conversation in which you are potentially, you know, saying something that's important. So this is going to sound weird, but I think in the next 50 years for the Christian church, actually, I just heard a guy just say this just recently, and I don't know. In the last 50 years, the church has really focused on the first table of the Ten Commandments, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, you know, that kind of, you know, fear the Lord. Remember the Sabbath day. For 50 years, we've really followed commandments 1 through 3. There's beginning to be talk in the Lutheran seminaries that in the next 50 years, what's going to be really important are the second table commandments, 4 through 10. In other words, honoring authority. We're not doing a great job with that in our culture and time today.
Oh, yeah.
Number two, honoring your father and mother, your family relationships. Number three, being faithful to your spouse, loving the person that's been given to you. Number four, stealing. Don't steal, but protect your neighbor's income. Don't covet. These are discipline practices that the world doesn't really practice these days. And we've been shy, I think, in saying anything about them because we don't want to be seen as judgmental. But the world desperately needs a good, healthy picture of how healthy submission to authority is a good thing, right? No one likes that word submission, but that can be a beautiful thing when, and that's God's good design for the world. And this is just fourth commandment stuff. I'm not preaching. I'm just basically just sharing Luther's statement on the fourth commandment. So anyway, any reaction to that? The idea that discipline is kind of going out the way. Again, I'm preaching to the choir. You guys are the gems. But when you look in the community, if I go on social media, I'm seeing great discord in school districts right now, like you wouldn't believe. I'm seeing discord in families at an unbelievable rate. I'm seeing the dishonoring of spouse at a really high level. And so if the Christian church can really just get back to those second table things and just be a beautiful gem in the community, that can be just a beautiful thing and a place of peace. Thoughts or questions, or I don't agree, Pastor.
No, I was just going to say thank you. I love the discussion this morning. I wanted to share just really quick before we end. On Hope Radio, I heard the greatest quote. It was something about how you can't worry and worship at the same. I mean, you can't worship and worry at the same time. So keep worrying, keep God's words on your lips, and then it will help with the worry. And in fact, it was a great quote, and I wanted to share it.
Awesome, love that. Thanks, Trudy. So true. Yep, Bob.
For me, there's some kind of connection between discipline and predictability. A lot of times when people are all over the place and disrupted, you can't predict what they could do. And that's really, really disturbing to an individual. So I don't know how close a connection it is, but there's something there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Bob, I think you're right on it. Actually, I think what Bob's saying is that when people are kind of going off in their own direction on these commandments, it's just makes a culture and community that's just chaotic and all over the place. That if we follow these commandments 4 through 10, which we've not talked about a lot in the church, there's a beautiful order and a peace. Life just becomes peaceful. Like, I've just noticed, like, when I think about what's going to please my wife, life just becomes more peaceful. I mean, my goodness. It's amazing how that works. When I honor my folks and check in with them, it's amazing how my heart is more filled with peace than if I'm angry at them or I remember something that they did wrong 10 years ago and I'm harboring that. That's not a good way to live, you know? Good comment. Good depth of comment there, Bob.